Leadership is bold. The best leaders take the time to invest in their own development. Leadership is about being open to collaboration while continuing to be true to yourself. Most importantly, as leaders, we've got to keep moving forward.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening in to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens, CEO of Southwest Michigan First. Today, we're diving into the topic of leading teams. In the last couple of podcasts, we've covered the topic of investing in our own leadership abilities and capabilities. But today, I want to talk about why it's important to lead teams. And I know Southwest Michigan First was recently named the best small business to work for in America after winning the best company to work for in West Michigan and in the state. So, Ron, let's talk a little bit today why it's so important to develop leadership in a team setting and what Southwest Michigan First is doing to achieve those kinds of national awards.
Yes, the awards are great. You know, it was by the group that does 101 best places to work in both states and in America, and we were honored that they would select us. But, you know, I should, you know, really be clear, and I steal this line from, you know, somebody who I really value, Andy Stanley, who says, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I just got here first. And in our case, you know, I'm lucky. We have a board of directors who has empowered me to be that front person for our team. But we clearly have a strategy where everyone on our team believes and operates as if they're the CEO of their own responsibilities. And that, to me, is what great leadership looks like. I just happen to be the one that stands at the front of the room, but clearly anybody on our team has the capacity to do that and has the responsibility in their areas to lead and to lead it as if they're the CEO of the organization.
And as a team member at Southwest Michigan First, I can say, and I can honestly tell everybody today, that we do some pretty amazing things that aren't common at a lot of different organizations. So, Ron, I'd love, since you are our leader, if you could talk about a few of those today. We do really great things like Scrum, Book Club. We do an annual team retreat, 440s, which Ron will talk about, and then we've got the playbook. So, Ron, to kick us off today, let's start with Scrum. It's the way we start our day every day as a team, so it's a perfect place to start the podcast.
Sure. Scrum's one of those terms that people think they probably know what it means, and they have a different, conjures up something different in their head. And I played rugby for years, and I'm passionate about the game. Still today, but the scrummage is the point where eight players from each team come together in a battle rams of men or women, and they're fighting for possession of the ball. But the scrummage, the forwards who are in that, are the people who do the hard work. They're the ones that get muddy and bloody. They work together as a team. When a scrum comes together, you can't tell one player from the next. They're so tightly bound together that they really form one mass. And they know that they've got to not only win possession of the ball, but they've got to move the ball down the field. And they've got to do the hard work. They've got to slog it out. But of the majority of the time, it's going to be someone else, someone not part of that group, who's going to take the ball across the line and score, that gets the glory, whose uniform stays clean, who the TV cameras metaphorically point to, and we have to be okay with that. So Scrum for us is that metaphor that every day we're the people who have to do the hard work, and we have to be okay with other people sharing in the reward of that hard work and know that we're interdependent upon them. They may not do the same thing as us, but they're going to have to do the hard work. But then that scrum is, for us, is a meeting. It takes place at 8:05 every day in our office. So if you call at 8:05, we're not going to answer the phone. I can tell you that now. Try if you'd like. We're not answering it because we come together. Every member of the team who's in town, who's not out of town with a client, is in the meeting. We have structured topics, things we're talking about. On Mondays, we share our relevant schedule points. Those things that I can share that are on my schedule this week that someone else might be able to help me out with knowledge or that I may be able to help them out. Simply, you're meeting with that person. I've been trying to get to them. Can you pass this on? Or can you ask them to return my call? Or here's some information you're going to need to know that'll help you be more successful during your meetings. Everyone on the team shares those relevant points with each other. So we're maximizing the impact that we have as a team. We also do things like weekly, we're talking about wellness, and that's not fitness, although that's a component of it, but we're talking about financial health of the individual. We're talking about eating and dietary things. We're talking about the thing that makes that person better able to deal with the stress and the hard work that their job brings them. And so we're very clear that that's something that's important to us. We share stories of impact. So what are the work we're doing? How's it impacting people? Too many times, organizations want to talk about bottom line. We helped X number of companies, or we returned to this amount of money to our stockholders, or our stock price is this, or we had this many people in the church on Sunday. But that doesn't inspire anybody. We have to measure things, and we have to keep track of it, because that's one way of looking at our success. But in today's world, we want to be inspired by the work we do. We want to know, is it impacting organizations that we value as important? So stories of impact are critical. We also look at our scoreboard. We literally don't just have a scorecard. We have a board modeled after the scoreboard at Wrigley Field that's got the 20 or so different things we're measuring on a weekly, monthly, annual basis, and where we're going towards meeting our goals. We're talking about every area of the organization so that we can all impact and help each other. We share marketing and customer service stories, and that's critically important. It helps us be innovative because you see something used in a different sector, good or bad, and you say, we're never going to do that, or here's a way we could do it and utilize that thought process. And then great customer service is something we all should be aspiring to. And by sharing examples of great customer service, it reminds us that we can all obtain that as well. And then appreciation. We call them Catalations. Catalyst is our corporate logo. And so congratulations and Catalyst together become a Catalation. And it's a note that team members write to each other and they publicly acknowledge. Everybody's got a pad of these notes on their desk. And it's about thanking somebody for help they gave you, thanking them for something you observed that was amazing that might not have been noticed, congratulating them for success they had, but doing so publicly. So we're standing in that circle all together and we're sharing. I want to recognize this person for this. And we're giving them that written affirmation. Now, here's the thing that most people don't get. The real joy isn't the receiving it. That's really nice. The real joy is writing it. The appreciation is a gift you give yourself as the author of that. And I challenge people to do that once a month. If you've never done this before, once a month, write a note and give it to somebody. It doesn't do any good if you don't give it to them or mail them. It's even more awesome if you can publicly acknowledge and read it. You know, that's what Scrum looks like for us. Now, who leads it changes every month. And so we ask every member of the team to nominate somebody else on the team to recognize somebody who had an impact beyond their own responsibilities. So just doing your own job really well won't get you nominated for what we call our legacy leader, but impacting the entire team in a way that goes beyond what's expected will. And so that person then leads the scrum and all of those topics for the entire month. They also were the one that present our financial data and our scorecard at the board of directors meeting. And our board of directors know that we're hiring amazing people who are ready to lead and ready to answer what can be tough questions on those data points. And so that level of appreciation and capacity is really magnified by this process, and we like it a lot.
So one of the really cool things that the Legacy Leader also gets to do is lead our team book club that we do monthly, sometimes every other month if we're looking at the summer around holidays when people are busy. But Ron, can you talk a little bit about book club and why that is such an important component of what we do around leadership at Southwest Michigan First?
Yeah, so book club for us is really about sharing common knowledge. I'm a little greedy, I guess. I mostly get to be the one who picks the books. You know, this year is going to be 100 books I'm going to read. I find some things that are just amazing. You know, the book that just blew the roof off the house for me was Creativity, Inc. by Ed Catmull, the founder of Pixar. You know, there were so many amazing lessons that I wanted to share with our team that I thought we could gain value and insight and innovation from that book was selected as our September read. It depends on the length of the book. We may discuss it in one session or two sessions, but the Legacy Leader for the month will lead the discussion. Sometimes there's coaching from others on what would be great questions or points, but it really is a way to build a common core knowledge amongst our team. So we're continually speaking the same language. We're continuing to invest in folks. And the fact of the matter is that it's a really inexpensive way to build an educational curriculum for a group of leaders that if you truly believe in, how can you not invest in them at this level?
One of the other things we do is hold a team retreat every summer, and this is kind of an annual opportunity for our team to step away from the work that we have, step away from the emails, and really spend some quality time together. So, Ron, can you talk a little bit about what goes on at Team Retreat and why it's so impactful in building our team's leadership?
So the first goal of the retreat is to laugh. That's the first goal. So we hold the retreat in the summer. Traditionally, there's a few weeks in our business that are slower than the others, so we try to pick one of those. But it really is about a decompression point. So we have a team of hard-charging leaders who really set high expectations for themselves. And this is about a day to laugh and share with each other. So we also try to learn with it. You know, this year we learned, you know, the art of beer making with craft beer, you know, exploding in our nation and our region. You know, we helped last year, I think, 6 different craft beer companies get established in the community. But I don't think most people knew really how beer was made and what the art and the science behind that was. So we went and learned about that for the day. We went and learned about Tiffany art, about the Tiffany glass and jewelry, about what the art behind that was, how Tiffany got started. We have an exhibit at the Kalamazoo Institute of the Arts was going on. And so we had the director there, gave us a great tour and insight into that. So we're having fun. We're learning things that we wouldn't normally learn. We're building together. We always have a kickball game that I can, you know, I guess I'm 500. I've been on as many winning teams as losing teams. But, you know, we play lambs versus unicorns. So neither one of those teams are very intimidating. But it's a way to laugh and come together in a different environment that allows people to gain appreciation of each other. And then we, in the afternoon, host an event for family members. So that's spouses, you know, boyfriends or girlfriends, it's children, it's parents, some cases, coming together that we can not only love each other, but we can love the families. You know, when people ask what's important to me, you know, what keeps me awake at night, you know, I think it comes back to a conversation my daughter Kelsey and I had, that we had added a new employee and she said, well, there's one more mortgage you're responsible for. But that truly summarizes it. I want our team to understand that when you make a decision, you're not making a decision that just impacts yourself or just impacts the organization or just impacts me as the point leader. You're making a decision that affects everyone on this team and every person in attendance here, every member of their family. And that's a great obligation you have to make good decisions that reflect the benefits that you would want cast upon your family with those decisions too. So summer retreat is just another way for us to to build the sense of responsibility to each other, but most importantly, to find a way to laugh together and build those relationships.
And it really is true. I mean, we talk about Southwest Michigan First team members not only working together, but being somewhat of a family. And I think a lot of how that bond is formed and created comes from the team retreat and getting the opportunity to spend time with each other's families. And for the record, I'm just going to throw this out here and say, I did win this year. I was on the winning team and we beat Ron's team. And Ron and I had a little scuffle about the score a couple of times, but since it's on the kickball field,
yeah, Amanda was right.
Okay. Anyways, in all seriousness, we'll get back to the plan. So regular meetings and check-ins with the leader are also really important in building leadership. In our case, that means meeting with Ron one-on-one in most situations, and we call them 440s. Ron, can you explain a little bit?
Sure. So 440s came from the need that as a leader, gosh, 15 years ago or so, I found myself in a position where I got an annual review that was completely arbitrary, that was completely based on the relationship I was having that day and the mood of the person who was my leader that day on how that came out. And I got nothing from it. It was a lousy experience, and I thought, when I'm in this position, I'm never going to do that. And so we developed a 440. So what it says is we discovered that monthly was too often, and frankly, there are seasons where monthly just doesn't work very well. So what we said is we divided the year into 40-day periods because we found it worked better for us to talk every 40 days. Each person has a customized sheet, if you will, that lists their goals for the year. So we can talk about where you're at against those goals, but we're also talking, you know, what are the four big things you're going to get done in the next 40 days? But we're also talking about things that are personal. You know, what's your personal professional plan for your career and how do I help that? You know, one of the questions on everybody's 440 is what do you need to succeed? What's that thing that you need? And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, I need a new laptop. Mine's dying and it keeps crashing and I can't do a program that I want because it won't support it well. And sometimes it's, you know, things that are big that I feel a need that I need to get a master's degree or I want to become certified in, you know, either economic development or event management, or I want to take the bar exam. I never did that. And I want to go ahead and finish that cycle. Those are things I can help and support on, and we can build a plan around to invest in that. And then maybe the most important question is, what should we quit doing? You know, every organization, every leader, every person takes on roles, takes on processes that after a while, we don't really know why we do them. But we continue to do those things. We continue to buy that product. We continue to invest our resources, our time, our talent, our treasure into that, but nobody really knows why. So we're asking that and challenging against it every 40 days with every member of our team. And then mostly every 40 days, we find something that we can quit doing that will save us resources and will help our team go faster. So it's critically important that we do that, and that everyone knows where they stand in the organization, and they're affirmed, they're supported, they're given the resources, expectations are clear. And I think it's one of the reasons that we've had the success we've had, one of the reasons that we can hold to the philosophy that we believe each person is the CEO of their own responsibility, because it's clearly defined, the resources are given, and the strategy is developed.
So the last thing I'd love for you to cover is our playbook. Now, almost every organization can say they have some kind of an employee manual or handbook, but talk a little bit about why the playbook is different.
So a playbook lists, theoretically, every problem, issue, or opportunity that could come in the organization. And how to address that. Now, there's a story, I don't even know who to credit with it, but I didn't create it, you know, that, you know, lions in Africa can eat mice all day long. Apparently, mice are so plentiful, they can eat mice all day long, but if they do that, they'll starve to death and die. Lions have to eat antelope. They have to eat something big to gain the energy they need to have the impact they need. And so our idea is to take away all of the mice, to take away all of the little problems, to solve those things. Things will pop up. We just can't allow the copy you're not working to become an issue that cripples the organization. We can't allow not knowing how to handle a situation to stop our organization from succeeding. And this belief really came when we were preparing for what was going to be potentially a really big storm. And so we began to think, all right, if we got shut down, our clients don't care that our electric lines are down, or they don't care that, you know, that we're scattered around the region. They need their services met, and they need to know that. So how do we handle that? So we started as a standard operating procedure, but then we began to ask everyone on the team, identify every problem that you deal with that could be replicated, and write down how you solve that. We then put that into a digital document. Originally, it was printed and everybody got a copy, but in today's world of being able to have digital documents in your Dropbox, on your phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, everybody has it digitally. It's updated on a regular basis. We share updates with the team, but there shouldn't be, if we've done our job right, there shouldn't be a simple problem, a problem that could be replicated that everyone on the team doesn't have the capacity to solve. It goes back to everyone on the team is empowered to solve problems. You were empowered to fix whatever it takes to be the CEO of those responsibilities. And to do that, we clearly have to create what that knowledge base is so that if we all got food poisoning and one person had stayed back to answer the phones, that one person should be able to run our organization for a week or so while everybody else kind of got back to work. And that's really what the playbook's all about.
And we've shared before that Southwest Michigan First has a desire to be the teaching hospital version of an economic development organization. So if you've heard of any of the tactics in today's podcast, if you're curious to learn more about Scrum, if you're curious to learn more about what's in the playbook, please feel free to drop Ron a note at ronkitchens.com. And we're more than happy to talk with you about all of the things that we do to help invest in your leadership. Any closing thoughts?
My hope and dream for leaders listening to this is they know that they don't have to invent it all. The great leadership knowledge is out there. The programs are out there. What they do is they have to make a commitment to be learners, and they have to make a commitment to translate that learning, to innovate, if you will, into ways that they can execute in their own organizations, whatever that may be. But they also have to remember that it's their role to always be moving forward.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.